This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Sharon will read from the parable of the wedding feast, and Dr. Wyatt will relate that all things are ready and that the invitations are for us all.
Thank you, Dennis. This parable from the 22nd chapter of Matthew is another with a dark and foreboding message, but the offer of the kingdom is grand and magnanimous. Refusing it should be unthinkable. This is, I believe, an important message.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatted calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their cities. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited are not worthy. So therefore, go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here improperly attired?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'"
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. The parable Sharon has just read follows directly here in Matthew's Gospel, the parable of the wicked tenants. It was Jesus' way of letting the Jewish leadership, those who ostensibly were to lead the nation, that he knew they were plotting his death. And then he infers just who it was that stood before them, confronting and defying them. He is the beloved Son, and that the kingdom of God would be taken from them and given to those who will produce the fruit of repentance, of faith in God's purpose. Now Jesus will expound on that, closing with this parable, clearly one with eschatological meaning. Eschatological is one of those helpful theological terms, which means those things pertaining to the close or end of the age. Here it means the thought, the thinking, not just on the history up to the end, but all the events surrounding it. So he uses his favorite teaching form to illuminate the misconceptions, the twisted expectations of those Jewish leaders, and also much of the Jewish populace. Jesus begins, "The kingdom of heaven," or "the kingdom of God." Believe me, the two phrases mean the same thing. Only Matthew will use this Aramaic equivalent for the word God, and here the kingdom is likened to a king giving an elaborate wedding feast for his son. We must understand that in the ancient world, particularly for royal weddings, they could last for many days. And as this is the king, it is not enough to accept the invitation. One must attend. We know this is an elaborate feast by the listing of all that is being prepared, oxen and fatted calves. This is a grand banquet and festival, but it is not for the king, but his son. And as sons have been portrayed in the last three parables, here we find it is the son, the one to succeed him. And this is a very special occasion, one in which all invited should be excited and grateful for the invitation. And now that all preparations are completed, servants are sent out to inform all the guests that now is the time to come. But they do not come. Even with an urgent second call to come, they do not. This is unnatural. You just don't refuse a royal invitation. This reflects disloyalty at the least, if not budding treason. When one is invited to such a feast, which Jesus is saying is like the kingdom, one should jump at the invitation. It is clear that an outward profession, the simple verbal assent to come, is a long way from eagerly wanting to attend, a far cry from joyously embracing God's purpose and his desire for a relationship with us. Is this not a portrayal of God's grace extended to us, our offered salvation, not only to us, but the entire world? Those to whom Jesus would present this parable are those who have had a continuous and constant invitation to accept what God is purposing in this man Jesus. What is his eschatological plan for Israel and his people? All the promises to patriarchs, prophets, and priests were clear. God called them for his own, but instead we have them unnaturally plotting, scheming, and deviously planning to kill Jesus. It reveals that God's purpose was not theirs. His redemption had never captivated their hearts. In the parable, the king had treated those invited with great grace, and now we see how they regarded the king. Still, the king is gracious, sending still another appeal, another invitation, and yet this too goes unheeded. Instead, they make light of it all. One goes to his farm, another would attend to business, and others seize the king's servants, treating them shamefully, even to murder. Seemingly, they don't care. They are far more concerned over their own affairs. Luke, in a very similar parable, lists various excuses. But here our Lord's purpose is different. There are no excuses offered. Whatever they were involved with could easily be postponed. None are facing any urgency. There are no excuses. They just don't care. It is a common saying that no one on their deathbed expresses regret that they didn't spend more time at the office, more time looking after their property, their business. When it comes to our ultimate eschatological destiny, should we be more concerned about our businesses, our possession, the latest automobile, the newest iPad or smartphone? Does the newest theater blockbuster, the latest pop or hip-hop star really matter that much when balanced against eternity? Even the headlines, the current political crisis, will pass away to be overwhelmed by the next one. It is about our priorities. What is primary? What is our heart's desire? What do we care most about? Jesus is addressing what is the primary concerns of the Jewish hierarchy, that they would do anything to preserve their position of power and wealth, undergird the status quo with their pagan overlords, Rome. There is no interest in what is now being said, that all things were ready. The Messiah was present. The time of Israel's long-expected jubilee was now. But these religious leaders ridiculed and dismissed this Galilean as they said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth? Or is a prophet to arise from Galilee?" Yet all things are ready, and they would miss their invitation. Instead, they plot against he who would bring about a new Israel, centered in himself, a new foundation for something new, centered in Jesus Christ. And it is the fulfillment of all that Judaism was meant to be. Yet as the parable relates God's forbearance, his love is not to be insulted forever. That God would grow angry, just as the king does. This is not welcomed by many, but his holiness, as well as his love, demands his righteous anger, and that sin, indifference, and callousness be dealt with appropriately. Those invited to the feast show little concern, no fear of retribution, no fear of consequences for their rebellion, even murder. They think they can act with impunity, but the king will send his armies, and Jesus will describe their judgment as the murderers being destroyed and their city set on fire. Is this once more a prophetic vision of the destruction of Jerusalem, that some hearing this will indeed see themselves? Why not? The high priest and scribes were planning and scheming rather than accepting God's invitation, present now in Jesus, and they would lose their opportunity and as a result face judgment. Judgment is what will overtake all who turn their back upon the Son, reject the invitation to the wedding feast. They have revealed themselves as unworthy, but all things are ready, and the wedding feast is too important to cancel or even postpone because of the ill manners of those would-be guests. And concerning what they have done to some of the messengers, unworthy is an understatement. So the king sends his messengers out to the byways, the roads that lead out of town, out where strangers, foreigners, the impoverished will be found. And all they find, as many as they find, are brought to the wedding feast. Those who would never be expected to be invited to a royal wedding are there, for all is ready. The message is plain. The servants of the king invite the outcast, the impoverished, the common. No one is excluded. There are to be Jews, Gentiles, slave and free, male and female, the learned, the unlearned, everyone. And by the statement that this includes the wicked and good, Jesus would tell the religious establishment, those considered the leaders, those versed in religious niceties, that they have been excluded, those considered outside their religious institution, those rejected as evil and unworthy are welcome. Of course, those who will accept the invitation are not to remain wicked or rejected. In the end, the king's desires are accomplished. In the end, all those ultimately invited by God should be found at the great wedding feast. But this parable would be incomplete without what follows. This is no later add-on or parable fragment just stuck here. This is our climax to the inclusion of the wicked and evil in the king's open invitation. There is a tension here, for there is to be a great rejoicing in the good fortune of such an invitation, and as the king comes to greet his guests, he comes to rejoice with them. He has not come to judge, but the king sees something which should not be. Someone has entered in with his dirty, shabby street clothes. He has not put on the offered festive garment, which is so much a part of such a feast. This man has seen fit to not make use of what the king offers, rejected the proper raiment of the wedding feast. For the king's searching question, the man has no answer. He is struck speechless. To put off the old and then to put on the new offered new garment is not superfluous, but central. It does away with the capricious idea that we are good, at least good enough, that God will not exclude us, deny us entrance as we are. After all, God is love, but that misses the point. Our old garments, our old lives are not acceptable. We must put on the garment God provides. These raiments are grand beyond anything we could provide for ourselves, even with our best efforts. It is what God provides, the robes of imparted righteousness we receive in Christ Jesus. In the words of Isaiah, he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. One dare not reject such garments. We are never to believe our lives, our behavior, our thoughts are good enough. By rejecting what is offered is the only thing that excludes anyone from the grand wedding feast. The man is bound like a criminal and thrown out, a clear Hebrew metaphor. But the truth is obvious. Rejecting God's freely offered gift, to do so knowingly, is to find one outside in the darkness, excluded from the greatest party ever. So many are invited, so many called, but it seems too few actually put on the festive garments. I take care here, as the Hebrew and Aramaic lack comparative abjective forms. They are limited in expressing many or few when actual numbers are not in mind. Here it is less than, not literally few. The invitation is global. Unfortunately, less than should will accept the invitation or put on the raiments of Christ's atonement. They reject violently or with indifference. They will spurn or find it all unnecessary, and thus they will lose out on far too much. The Lord didn't plan all of this from before creation, set it in motion for countless generations for just a few. The banquet will be filled. All things even now are ready. Are we? Are you? The offer is so magnanimous, so awesome in promise and scope. How could any refuse the invitation? However many will. Don't let it be you. Embrace the Son, His atoning work. Enter in and put on Christ. For all things are ready. For right now, for your garment of salvation, it is yours alone. Oh Lord, I just pray that indeed all those that hear my voice this day will embrace the invitation, accept your call of salvation, to put on the robes of righteousness that you offer each and every one of us. Put away the concept that somehow we are good enough, that God won't reject us. Come to Christ. Put on that robe. Put on Christ. For indeed it is all about His kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. All in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
First of all, we want to express our good wishes to all our Canadian friends as you celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow. May you enjoy a wonderful time of rejoicing with those you love, remembering together our Lord's bountiful blessings. So God bless you all. In this parable of the wedding feast, our Lord is portraying a great reason for thanksgiving, the immeasurable grace that is extended to all who willingly accept His invitation. But it will require our putting on our robes of righteousness. We are to be God's own. That is what Thomas's book is all about, The Bride of the Lamb. Believers are to be His bride, chosen, set apart, clothed and made fit for His presence. This scriptural study reveals just what God does intend for His people. You will want a copy of The Bride of the Lamb. It can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, we want you to know just how much you mean to us and how honored we are to have you in our Wings of Healing family. Words cannot express enough in telling you how much we appreciate all of you, and we continually hold you in our hearts and our prayers. Thank you so much for being a part of this ministry and being there for us, and we would hope that more of you will join in making it possible for the Wings of Healing to continue God's work. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This parable makes the point, doesn't it? And we need, must be in Christ, abide in Him, walk in Him, so that we are covered by His wedding garment, made for us. This was the answered prayer of Gloria of Indianapolis concerning her family, praying constantly for their salvation. First, her daughter, her children started to go to church, then were baptized. The next year, her other daughter and husband accepted the Lord, and now her son-in-law has joined the family in church. Prayer does eventually bear fruit. It just does as Gloria has told us. It has just required patience and constant prayer, and she has now seen the fruits. There are a few more on her prayer list, but she believes prayer will be answered. And if you need help in prayer, do write. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now, Travis Cottrell performs appropriately, Lord, We Come. And until next week, know that our Lord has made all things ready.
Lord, we come into your gates with thanksgiving and with praise. Into your presence, Lord, we come. In our joy and in our pain, we return to you again. Into your presence, Lord, we come. Lord, we come to you by faith, all believing in your grace, looking to Jesus as our love. We look to you. We were lost without your truth. Your presence, Lord, we come. Lord, we come to you. Lord, we come to you. Lord, we come to you. Presence, Lord, we come. Oh, yeah. Rain down your power from the heavens. Pour out your spirit.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering his very timely study titled The Bride of the Lamb. Here is briefly and biblically presented just what God means by preparing a people for His own and why we are to clothe ourselves in His robes of righteousness.
This is an important study, so do write and ask for the Bride of the Lamb. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.